Freedom, liberty, the pursuit of happiness is, until it isn't. If you're in trouble with the law, facing jail time, parole, probation, or sentencing, then stay tuned for Jail, Parole, Probation, Survival with Greg Harris. It may just save your life.
Good evening. What part of the country or the world you're in? Some parts of the world, good morning. My name is Greg Harris. Welcome to the show, Jail, Parole, Probation, Survival, where we talk about the tactics of, you know, getting through those particular things, but of course, much more as well, because as I like to say, you know, things lead from jail out into society and vice versa, back in, from society back into jail. It's just a, you know, give and take thing back and forth. You see it all the time. At any rate, as I said, my name is Greg Harris, G. Blackwell, a.k.a. And I want to welcome you to the show. And it's going to be a pretty exciting show. I had a pretty exciting weekend this weekend with a friend of mine that happened to be in the feds with me. All right? So, sort of know this guy. So he's a great guy. He was in the feds. He was a counterfeiter. He's an open book type of guy, like myself. He's a counterfeiter. And from what this, how the story goes, he happened to have a book out. I'll give you all the information on that as well. From what the feds said, he had the best paper they've seen, you know, so forth and so on, with the strips and, and everything, just magnificent. Right? So, got busted, went in, did his time, got out, changed his life, start doing art. His name happens to be Art as well. Ironic as that may sound, he does start doing art, but not just any type of regular art. He implements the art he does. He may draw a painting of Marilyn Monroe. Inside of the painting, he'll implement Benjamin Franklin, you know, the $100 note. That's what he's known for, making the $100 bills when he was a counterfeiter. But now he's using that image and that note in another way, in a more positive way. So, hence, as like myself, he's been on the same amount of time, he's cleared federal probation, so forth, moving on with his life, his family. He's doing well for himself. Lo and behold, through transactions in Chicago, Miami, they get word out here on the West Coast, the man just this weekend was summoned out here for the likes of his art by the governor himself, Arnold Schwarzenegger. So, okay, some people may not agree with his politics or may not agree with the man, but that's Big Arnold, okay? So everyone's open to their own opinion about whoever. For me, that's some big stuff. Because, one, you don't go up to the governor's home. That's what you don't do. I care who you are. It's good. You can Google it. They'll give you the address, tell you right where he is. Right up the road, right there. But you better not. You're not getting in there. That's what you're not doing. And if you happen to get through one gate, you damn sure won't get through the other. So you got about three or four gates up there. So, yeah, it's all structured and so forth where we went to the mansion up there. And they had the likes of Sylvester Stallone. You had the guy Jason Statham, you know, Tom Arnold. I mean, just to make a few, of course, you know, Sly was front and center with the governor. So my friend, which they had to be cleared months in advance, license, name, picture, so forth, to get in there. This is a big yearly event that he does for charity. He wants to showcase my guy's artwork at this event, at the mansion, at his home. Big deal. So, does just that. But for my guy to scoop me up, by me scooping him up, in my SUV, They really said, no, gee, I want you to be a part of this, man. So that's how I got to be a part of that, you know, phenomenal thing, you know, that's happening for him. It's just a great thing that is art being showcased up there. And lo and behold, they happened to raise a ton of money for charity. And shout out to Chris's charity as well. They were holding another charity right down the street from us where LL Cool J and a lot of other people were down there. You know, it's L.A. We do the celebrity thing. We love it out here. I love it personally. I see it every day. It's a thing, you know. I mean, in other parts of the country, they don't care about that kind of stuff. And I don't blame you. Just like here, they don't think about other parts of the country. They just don't. It's just the type of people that's out here. So that celebrity thing is just, this is what it is. And especially, I'm in that line of business pays, you know, so there you go. But, yeah, so we were there. And just happened to see so many phenomenal things. But the most phenomenal thing that I experienced personally, and he and I, my friend Art and I got a chance to talk about, was the blessing that it was to be able to be out to experience something like this. It's huge. Hey, I'm blessed every day just to be able to do what I do. Period. I mean, I'm full every day. On that. That's good for me. That's a holiday. That's a honeymoon for me every day. But for something like this, I mean, you know, I'm in the best of places in LA, Beverly Hills, Bel Air, all the time, every day, all day. That's where my hangout, if you will. So I'm used to it. But this was different. For one, I was a part of this, my friend, I was a part of his man, his life-changing event that took place just yesterday. We talked about fresh. So, you know, to be a part of that, to experience it with him, look at the look on his face and hear him say that he shed tears up there. And they shed tears right but with him. That, and to be, man, that was deep. That was deep because, hey, you know, that's a big thing to be a part of, just to be around how he impacted those people, because he impacts me as a friend, just, you know, the kind of type of person that he is. So how he impacted those people, and to be, you know, within the circle that's talking about that, fresh, we're right there. I'm like, oh, boy, that's big. So, yeah. So it was a great event. And you can look him up. He's on Facebook. He's on Google. Name of the book is The Art of Making Money. His name is Art Williams. He's a great guy. He does speaking engagements. I can't say enough about him. And once you look him up and see him, if you want to follow the guy on Facebook, Instagram, and so forth, I'll link it to my page, in fact, if I'm able to do that, just so you'll be able to link on this guy's page and see what he's about, his book and so forth, and see, you know, what positiveness and doing the right thing and moving forward and having a plan and executing and so forth can do for you, you know, especially when you have real talent anyway. I mean, it's a good thing too, but to do that, I mean, it's plenty of people with real good, very good talent that's never shown, never exposed, you know, and so forth. So it's just a blessing to have that showcase, that platform for those particular people shelling out that type of money, you know, those type of bucks. You know, so it's a huge, I mean, more past his wildest dreams, put it that way. I'm not going to disclose his dollar amount, but just past his wildest dreams, which is, I was happy for it. I mean, and he paid me. That's a good friend. You can't beat that with a stick. So, you know, shout out to him again. Big ups to him. Much respect. I'm going to see him a little later tonight. He's going to drive and around the city before he leaves. And then inform to come back, because now to be made, you know, with those people, it's just, that's just profound. I mean, it's just a good thing. It's a good thing. So again, congratulations to my friend Art Williams is his name. Follow him. I'll leave a link. I'm going to speak with my engineer, but if it's possible to leave a link that will get to his page, or you can go to my page, and he's one of my friends. Yeah, I'm sure you can, the social media network out there, you can find Art Williams, you got to look him up. You got to see some of the stuff that he does. He does some beautiful paintings. He did one with the Governator, and that's, I guess that's the one he really appreciated. With the Benjamin Franklin within the Governator, just, you know, nestled in there, very nice. And it was just a good look. Then he got pictures with Jason Statham, which I happen to like as a Terminator, and the other pictures that he's done. You know, he's a good actor. He's a solid guy, regular guy. My guy was telling me all about him and about, you know, the kind of guy he was and how he befriended him. And, you know, so it's just a beautiful thing to witness. So I'm grateful for this weekend. It was huge for me. Not even over yet. So there you go. So at any rate, again, welcome to the show. Can't talk enough about this weekend up there at the mansion because, as I said, the survival tactics that I used to suffice federal probation allowed me to go up there with my friend. So it ties back into me surviving what's in front of me, you know, as positively as possible and working with what I got until I can get a little more to work with that. So basically, that's it. I was able to meet a few people out there. I talked to some drivers that were solid. I talked to one guy in particular that had ties to Chicago and R. Kelly and other people. I even knew one of my family members back there. I have a huge family in Chicago. And so we had a very extensive conversation, a very good conversation, and exchange differences about different views and so forth. And, you know, when you're out there like that, it's like the topic come up about the current events and so forth. And we were able to talk about it. And I thought about this twice, but after talking with this gentleman, you know, to tell you straight out and right out, the ancestors sort of gave me this thing to give you and tell you, but I didn't want to dampen this or dim the shine, if you will, on my guys, you know, come up over there with the governor, the ex-governor, you know, the governator. So I would definitely want to make sure his shine shined when I mentioned it on the show. I wish I could dedicate the whole show to him. The show is dedicated to him. Talk about it, and I probably will jump in and out of it. But I was given this. It was put on my mind and my mind to say it. So the other driver and I, we were talking, and of course, the latest the topics come up. We're in L.A. What this celebrity done, and the duration of our conversation, he may or I may say, "Oh yeah, I know that. I know that. Or I know that guy. I know that girl. I drove her. I saw her." Yeah. So we all exchange stories or whatever. So the latest topic was, of course, in this topic, you know, on social media, I look at things die out in a day. Definitely within 2 or 3 days, they're dead. But something else is new now. Did you hear about, you know, Mr. Man, or would this happen over there? Okay. But this topic won't die, ever. It won't die. So he could have said it last month, last week, last year. It's still fresh. The new album's out, so it's not new anymore. We don't even talk about it anymore because the album's out now. Because he only did it because of the sales of his album. Of course, we're talking about Kanye West and the situation with this statement about slavery. That's a deep one because, I've heard different views and people had different things to say about it. And I'm a good listener. I try to be anyway. I look at that as being one of my skills when I'm really tuned in, especially. But for me, it's like a situation that deep. And when I drop this situation about this situation on you today, I'm speaking to my people about this. Now, this is for anybody to get. Now, it's for everybody to get. That's why I want to lay it out that way. But this is specifically for my people because this, I want to crack a code with this. And, of course, with something like slavery, as, you know, fucked up as it is, and, oh, yeah, I forgot to get a disclaimer earlier. Gonna be a few choice words used on the show, especially in this segment, because I want you to feel the full impact of what I'm saying. Because if you feel the full impact of what I'm saying, you'll be able to see the comparison that I'm attempting to make with you. All right? That's been made for me. So already, not by any man either. So here we go, because I don't know it, but I'm getting ready to give it to you. So the thing is, with slavery, something of that deep of a magnitude, that deep of a topic, it's past all that. It's a thing, really. It's a thing. With a subject, with that subject in particular, you have to liken it to something that you can liken it to. In other words, you have to liken it to something that you can say, okay, that reminds me of, and that's just a hard one to liken, like to anything. It's hard to compare. The only thing you can, that I've heard people compare that to slavery is like the Jewish Holocaust. Okay, yeah, you know, the Jewish Holocaust and the slavery, the same thing. They just killed all of them and slaves over here, killed some slaves, this, that, and the other. But not like that. I'm talking about the story, the actual doing, the happening. What can you liken to your life today that resembles slavery back then for you to have some idea of what the fuck went on back there? Because that's the whole thing. What went on? I don't know. I can only speculate because I don't know, because I wasn't there. So, but it affects me today. So the thing is, what was given to me was, you know, the name of the show was Jail, Parole, and Probation Survival. So the majority of my references are going to come from jail. So we got to go back in. Like I said in the previous show, we'll go in, we'll come out. We'll go in, we'll come out. Thank God, not literally, unless I'm going in there to speak. So, I don't have to worry about that anymore. So, you have to liken it to an experience that you can relate to your life today, to, you know, your life, whether it's when you were 10 or if you're 50. Just what can you relate through the travels of your life that you can relate slavery to? So you said that you can resemble it, so you can have some type of idea of what you're even talking about when Kanye said something, or whoever said something. So for me, it came in jail, and it came in the form of, you know, it could be anybody, it could be you. You don't, I'm not saying I want people to put themselves in the middle position like they've done something wrong. No, it could happen to anybody. You're in jail. I'm in jail, whoever, whatever individual it is, in jail, sitting in the cell on his bunk, and a guy happens to come through your cell door with a knife, a particular knife that they call, it's a homemade knife that they call a bone crusher, and they call it that for a reason, okay? So he comes in your cell, you're sitting in your bunk reading the Bible or reading a book or a comic book or the rules of the jail, or looking at your soap or your kit that they gave you, unrolling your towel they just gave you when you came in. Whatever you're doing, you ain't paying full attention. And your situation awareness is not up anyway, so you don't have none. So the guy steps up in where you live and put one up to your side or your neck or wherever, touch you with it and tell you, I'm fucking you or I'm killing you. That's what he does. He says, comes in, put the knife up to you, say, I'm fucking you, or I'm killing you. Now, those are your decisions. Now, get it out of there. Make your decision out of one of those, but hurry up, because I'm on you, and you already know we don't have a lot of time. So, again, stepped in the cell where you were, or where whoever was sitting there, if you don't want to put yourself there so you won't fully feel it, whoever, me sitting there, I'm fucking you or I'm killing you. So it's just a cold position to be put in, that descent. Get one of those. Answer me with one of those. That's a question that, because the experience I've had when I witnessed this, that's a question that can be put on so hard and so fierce. I liken it to the exercise, the latest exercise, you know, for years people have been doing, the midsection, the core. They want to work on the core. That touches your core. That type of fear is going to touch your core of your body, of your soul. It's going to touch you. It's going to shake you up. It's going to paralyze you. So, it came to me like this. I liken it to stepping in the cell with the bone crusher. You can't win. No way I'm on you. Give you the choice. Which choice do you make out of those two that the guy gave you? He gave you two choices. One choice to make out of two. You can only make one. He only gave you two of them. Which one? I'm bucking you or I'm killing you. Make a choice. What choice do you make? Well, let me give you the answer to it. You don't make any because you're paralyzed from the thought of what was just put on you. You can't make no choice. The hell you gonna make a choice right there? I don't want to be fucked. And I don't want you to kill me. I don't want to die. I just want to do my little time and get out. But damn, you gave me the choice. I'm fucking you, I'm killing you. So no decision is made because paralyzed in fear. So his whole entire walk through the system from the day he get out, hopefully he gets out, to out here, to wherever he goes, that's going to be with him. The non-decision is going to be with him. He's going to live with the non-decision. I didn't say which one happens on, because that doesn't matter. That doesn't matter. The guy with the knife doesn't matter. It's the fear that touched his core. Now that's control. That's what's control of everything when it comes to the guy on the bunk. So he walks through life with this feeling, with this non-decision that he made back then. And he carries that. That literally becomes his baby. He protects it. He holds on to it. If you fuck with it, say something about it, mention it. It really, that's the one, that's the button. That's a button for him. So, the way that was given to me was, that baby is our slavery. That's the pain we felt when it was put on us. And somebody challenged it, whether it's a Kanye, me, Trump, Obama, Jump, whoever. Don't even matter. That don't even matter. Whoever says something about it, that's my baby. I've been holding this thing all this time, man. This non-decision. I've been holding it because I got to say non-decision because the two words, they slipped out and got to me as a youngster. Even to this day, he was Harriet Tubman and shit, Bat Turner. So if they existed, those are decision makers. They made a decision to ride and they rode. So if they made a decision to ride, whoever didn't make that decision made a decision not to ride. That's just because I wasn't there. I'm looking at it from today's aspect, through me, through these lenses that I'm wearing. And it was given to me that way so I can understand it better for that day. See, so mind you, I don't even want to talk about it. This is just like a can of worms, but it has to be addressed. And that's what it is. It's like, it's the non-decision that we've been holding. I'm saying we collectively, for centuries, I mean, for generations, because the thing is, the reason why I said nobody's a wobbler, nobody can be wrong. And the wobbler is the actual answer, because whatever Kanye says is what he feels, and he has a right to do that, of course. If we're talking respecting everyone's opinion. On that note, yeah, but at the same time, that's his understanding. You didn't do your history. Do your history. If you do your history, you're still going to come up with being feared to the core. And no decision was made for the most part for the major population of us. None. The fear. None. So when the house, when Kanye or someone of that like speak out on his view or opinion, I don't have to agree with him or like what he said or dislike what he said. But when he says it, somebody, first thing he'll say is, "Nah, that old house nigga." Now, he is the wobbler. Again, if I call him a house nigger, I immediately referred myself to the opposite side of the house nigger. So if I say, oh, house nigger, I immediately just referred to myself as a heel nigger, whether I realize it or not, because I called him a house nigger. So I took opposition to house nigger. I just did it. I can't deny it. I love to, but I can't do it. You see? So what I do is just, I sat back and I thought about it. I'm like, okay. And it goes even further because we all hear and we all know most of the jargon comes back in jail again. It comes out of jail, out of the street. And one of the main ones is how real it is in the field, because we all know and we all hear it's real in the field. What field are you talking about? What field? You got to ask yourself. See, now it's time to ask yourself some questions. Because this, what I'm referring to about the fear to the core and everything else alongside it, this is nothing you have to ask anybody. Something the only person you got to ask is yourself. Where are you at with this? Where you're at. And then another thing, like for me, I don't like giving too much power out. Like, and the lens thing again, I mean, I'm grateful to God I'm able to look through the lens that I'm looking through, because I want to refer to another situation, and you can call in at 888-627-6008 and speak on that last matter. We can speak on it again some more down the line. I'm going to speak on some more before this afternoon's up on this show. But the thing is, I also want to comment on the Trump effect. If you just put on another pair of lenses, you may see that. Look, as far as gas, I'm a gas guy. I buy a lot of gas every other day. So that affects me, okay? I don't like that. It hurts. I feel it, okay? But with Trump being in office, he's exposed what's going on with people. Like you hear it on social media and on TV, racism is at an all-time high. I don't know about you, but me, I'm the type of person that I like to know. I like to be aware. I like to be up on it. So if he's going to expose your ass and put you and allow me to get put up on how you really feel, he's done me a favor, man, because it's nothing like being in the know, being cognizant. Like I said earlier, head on the swivel, being aware. I want to be aware. Who are you? So I want to ask that question. Who are you? So he's exposing that on a daily basis if you're paying attention and not paying attention to him so much. Because, I mean, in any warfare, unless life can come to that, just staying healthy can be, you know, it could be being a health warfare with yourself. Because usually, now say with yourself, but usually all the wars is, like for me, is with me. I don't have to hate anybody or like anybody or dislike anybody. I don't have to. I can just do it with me. It's me. So for me, I want to be in the know. I want to be aware. I want to know how you feel. And if it's exposing things on a daily basis, and you know the old saying, if it looks like a snake, it's a snake. Okay, then I see the trait in the actions and how you, okay, how gracious carry on. Okay, and I see that in you. I don't even have to, you know, do any subtractions or anything, any type of math to figure that one out. It's like that because it's been exposed, you know, the behaviors. So you've done me a favor because I'd rather know than not know. You know, it's an old saying. It's really a code cracker, and they say it. It's the answer to everything, you know, that you need to know in life, how you just keep moving forward. They say it. You get paid for what you know and charged for what you don't know. Right? It has to be said and heard that way. So you get paid for what you know, and you get charged for what you don't know in everything in life. You just spread that like peanut butter. That spread it over everything, because that's what it is, period. So I'd rather be in the know to be more aware. You know, I'm going to be more beneficial to myself. It's going to be more beneficial to me. I'm going to know what street to walk down, what street not to walk down. My situation awareness will be heightened because I'm in the know. My awareness is up. I'm not guessing. I'm not walking out backwards. I'm not walking out with some parenthetical not working. I see it because it made me aware. Thanks. So then you have to say, do you know? Not only just do you know who the opposite, about the opposition, the person that you feel that's opposed to you, but do you know yourself? Because basically, well, I have to find out and discover that's where it lies. Like for me, I internalized that little situation I had with the Kanye comment. Because that's deep. That's big. I really needed to have that one. I'm grateful for it every day because, and grateful that I can say it the way I say it and give it to you because it came to me that way. And ironically, it came through, you know, most of my lessons, life lessons, the big ones, man, are just, they happened in jail. I mean, I lived a lot of life out here in society, but my life lessons with the most impact for me that I'm able to disclose to you from jail. You see? And it's part of my survival of getting through it. And it's not only that, it's part of my lessons and learning to deliver the message that I have today. Because I'll tell you something, that Kanye thing is like something you don't want. I don't want to touch it. But it has to be addressed. I have to. I have to do it. You know, it's one of those things. And it's like just to look inside and see. I mean, if you can just, you know, the fear factor of it, you know, to the core, like I said earlier, that it was delivered with the bone crusher, man, the boy in the cell. That's why it came to me that way. Now you may ask, did that happen to you, G? Damn. By the grace of God, no, it didn't happen to me. But I've seen it happen many times to people. And in the latter years, I was able to even help you. But early on, you just have to, something you just have to look and look at and accept and look the other way. It's none of your business. It don't have nothing to do with you. You didn't even see it. So I remember a guy, that reminds me of a little story, jailhouse story. Guy, a buddy of mine, was pissed. He loved coming by, sitting there and talk. See, I just want to know, can I come by here every day and talk with you? Yeah, man, come on. You're a youngster. You come by there, little banger. But he had to sit down and talk every day. He didn't know he was teaching me a lot. I'm learning a lot from him. So we're talking. And I said, look at this dude keep walking past the door. Because we got the business in the feds, you got doors, like in MDC here in LA. So the door was open. And it's like, look at this dude keep walking by the door, man. There's nothing down there for you to go to. It's like, okay, you're going to the shower. There's no shower that way. Why you keep walking past this door? We're not hiding anything. It's just I'm wondering why I'm aware of this fool keep walking past my door. So I said, watch this, what I do to him the next time. So he kept walking by. I said, the next time he walked by, I told the guy, I said, I want you to kill him. And the guy looked at my cell and ran. He ran away. Yeah, he heard the wrong thing that time, didn't you? See, because he was eavesdropping, just listening, walking, just listening. I'm like, okay, I'm going to give you something to listen to. And I shouted it to the guy. And he's like, he looked. Yeah, he heard that. So, you know, he busts his bubble. But anyway, back to what I was saying about being aware. Two things. Being the awareness of what this administration has done today. Your awareness should be heightened right now. Not a fear, because we already know fear makes everything 100 times, if not more, worse. I'm talking about that. Just your awareness for yourself. And then collateral to that, the core of the fear and a side that goes with that is there is no wrong. Because first I need to know what I'm looking at before I can even speak on it. The baby I'm holding, I've been holding for years, the baby is the subject. I don't want you talking about it that way. And then he don't want you talking about it that way. See, so it's nobody's wrong, because I fully get it, you know, but we have to open it up and look at it first. And then that coupled with Trump being in office, anytime you have to get a rotten tooth out of your mouth, if you have to go to the dentist, man, it may hurt. It's going to be very, very painful. Maybe a little bloody and ugly, but it's got to come out. See? So it ain't going to come out pretty. It's not going to be a pretty thing. So it's like, but it has to be discovered and then discarded. First, you got to discover it, like Indiana Jones. You got to go find it, because it ain't just right there. The only thing right there is the fear in the baby that we've been holding, because it never made a decision, because it was a mashup. And ironically, I saw a statue on Facebook just this morning. The statue's at the museum in D.C. The statue's out front. It's just a cold depiction of how it was. It touched me hard. Even the rust going down the back from the chain, it was just a cold depiction. And I saw it, and it was ironic. I didn't want to talk about this. I was talking about my buddy, about the art stuff. I did not want to talk about this. See? So the thing is, I saw that picture this morning. I could have saw it tomorrow. I could have saw it yesterday. I saw that this morning. And the rust going down the back, that's the part got me, from the chain. Not the faces and the expressions. You got to see the expressions, because they're human. It's the pain, you know, and they're not understanding, like, what the fuck is going on? That was on their face, see? So that's the fucking fear at the core, to the core, is what I'm saying. That's why I got to put it that way, to the core. And then I saw the pictures later, right? I was given the story, my experience in jail to go collateral with this thing this boy said. And then I saw the pictures this morning. That's the crazy part, because the pictures showed the core of fear on the face, the not under what the hell's going on. That. Like, what's going on? Don't even know. That's cold fear. I'm like an alien coming to get you, taking you to their spaceship. You don't know. Well, who? You don't know what the hell, man. It's the same thing. It's like the guy stepping up in the cell with the bone crusher. You leave. You're not even in the cell no more. You leave. You leave your body. He gave you that much fear, man. He can do what he want to do to you. Because you leave. You got to leave. That's heavy. That's the core fear I'm talking about. You leave. But you're still there. See? So it was given to me like, hey, gee, you got a situation in your life, travels, that you can relate to slavery just like that. Because that's a cold topic. Me, man, I've been in jail all my life doing stuff from the West Side of Chicago. What the hell I know about slavery? Or what relates to it? I don't know nothing about that. Want to hear something about the West Side of Chicago? A little bit about L.A.? I talked to you about that back in the day. I can't tell you nothing about slavery. I don't know nothing about that. Saw some stuff in the book. But, yeah. So, it's mine, but it ain't mine, see? So the thing is, it's got to be looked at before it can even be addressed. He wrong about what? What he wrong? Okay, about what? What part? What he say? What he do? Where he at? Because what part? What you looking at? Got to be looked at. Got to be opened up. you know, it's got to be looked at because it's the core. It's got to go deep and look in there because it's the core, the part you don't want to look at. I don't feel it ain't there. It ain't there, and I'm not here. That's fear. I mean, to an extent, like who, what, where? It's like they say, like the boy said, I'm not black, I'm OJ. It's that kind of fear. I mean, you step outside of it, ain't he? Not me, look. See? It's that, the same thing back then. It's that same core fear. It just shifts and goes into different forms. You dig? So it's like, it has to be looked at, especially if you're going to talk about it. You can't just talk about stuff. You got to open it up and look at it and show a person what you're saying. See, this is what it is here. This is what we got to look at. This is the part he said wasn't good, and this part you holding on to that you don't know. You don't, because you don't see it. It's so ugly. Who, hell, who want to look at it? I don't. I like looking at pretty stuff. Beautiful things. I don't like looking at ugly stuff. I don't know too many people that do. Unless, you know, toxicologists and CSI people. That's what they get paid to do, look at some stuff I wouldn't want to look at. So, but you have to look at it, because if you're talking about discerning anything from it or gleaning or getting anything or getting an answer or giving a solution or, okay, we figured it out, though, we cracked the code. Here it is. You got to open it up and look at it first. Talk, he said about what? Slavery was a choice. Slavery was a choice. That's too wide open. That's too open there. That's too open. It's too vague. It's too general. It's too everything. It's just, you're skimming from the start. You started skimming when you ask the first place. And then you can't even answer something like that. But when you're emotional, yeah, you can. Fuck you. 10 times. Because you touch my baby, it hurt, you dog. You hurt me. See, so like that. So that's an emotional outburst, just a emotional charge is what it's called. That was the answer for the most part. Emotional charge. Ah, you dog, you awful tongue. Ah, you house nigger. And then I'm calling myself, you know, we went over that. So that's what we got for that. Because it's emotional. Very. All it is emotional, because I haven't thought it through. I didn't think about it. I don't even know what it is. Shit. So all it is emotional. I'm looking at that shit. So it's highly emotional, and which makes me, I'm emotional, and everything I say, whatever you say in regards to it is, I'm emotional, so I'm saying everything I come out of my mouth is emotional. It probably won't make a lot of sense, because I'm not addressing anything but Kanye. All I'm addressing is Kanye, not slavery. I'm addressing Kanye, and then when I address him, I just told you, when I address him, like, you house nigga up in the big house with Kim, I pop the other finger back at myself, the thumb, and say, cause I'm a field nigga. It's real in the field, sucker. See, that's what I just done if I do that, undeniably. Deny it if you like. That's what it is. Reaction. 1-2, negative, positive. Left, right, black, white, up, down, same thing. So that's what it is. You shoot one out, you shoot one back. Every time. That's why when you hear people say, nigger, white person, say, look at this racist, nigger. The person with it could be a white person, black person, Mexican, Asian, whoever, to the side will say, look at this idiot. They'll say that to the person who said it. That's the reaction he got. That's what he gave. Look at this idiot. Or whatever. Something bad like that. From the side pocket, you can get that. So, I mean, for me, I mean, it's time. It's the day we're living in. We can look at a lot of stuff. Just, you know, for me, it's like, I just got to say, make sure you're looking at the right thing that's going to be applicable to where you're trying to go. Because Jimmy, Johnny, and Mary may not want to go with you. But you need to be certain which way you're trying to go, what direction, what do you want to know for? Once you know, what are you going to do with it? Where are you going to take it? Where are you going to use it at? Because, and I have to ask that, because even the stuff I'm talking, I always talk it everywhere to everybody, because it's full disclosure, it's me. It's what I'm doing, it's what I am, it's, you know, who I've been, and now it's who I am. And we're going to use all that, as I say every week. Something that was meant for bad is going to be used for good. Wasn't my decision, wasn't my plan, it wasn't me. I mean, all the way down to the fact that I didn't even pick the day, Sunday at 2 o'clock. It had nothing to do with it, but it was picked. I can't tell you that. So I didn't, you know, none of that didn't even want to do it. Don't. A lot to do on Sundays here in L.A. It's just part of the deal. So it's just find out where you're at, where you're going, where you're headed, and why you're supposed to go there. You know, what's your mission? It's not, you don't have to go to jail to do it. I'm not saying, okay, everybody, you got to go out there and get you a case. Now, I'm trying to do nothing major. So you don't want to, no. You're supposed to use mine. Use my case. Because I had to sit in there, not have him, I did. I sat in there and got it. You know, that was my journey I had to go to. So I, you know, had to sit in there and get it. So you can use mine, you know, because I've come to find out with pressure and even some pain, a lot of good can come out of it if it's utilized perfectly, not somebody administering pain, but the type of pain I'm talking about is, it's like a purge type pain, not physical pain, because I mean, I'm in good physical shape, thank God. The pain I was talking about, I had to endure, was the purging pain, like my old ideas and my old ideology and who I thought I was and all that. And it was cool for that time. I liked it a lot. So, you know, I really enjoyed being in the life. I got to say that, just to be honest. I really enjoyed it a lot. So there's a lot of power came with it. But the thing is, I had to reevaluate myself in there, and I was able to write some things I wrote while I was writing. I was able to get them out of me and look at them again and see where I really was, you know, and why. Not like I'm some scholar, I figured some stuff out and wrote it down. Oh, okay, turn the page upside down. Got it. Okay, I see it. No. Slow process. Hollering at me. That's why I say hollering at you on the record. Oh, yeah, by the way, the record is on Spotify and Apple. You can look under G Blackwell for that. G, then space, Blackwell, like the mammal. B-L-A-C-K-W-H-A-L-E. And that'll give you an insight, inside of how I think a bit. Because I got an EP on there with four tracks. And I'm saying stuff like the Million Man March, the system, and I'm down, because I'm down, you know, but I'm saying I'm down. But it's a positive note, because I want you to think, whoever my listeners are to that, I want you to think clearer in the sand than in the record. And it's very short. So I'm down, but like I said at the end, you make more money with a smile and a frown. You'd be surprised how many people don't know that. You'd be surprised how many people don't know that. You make more money with a smile and a frown if you want to make money. That's just if you want to make money. You ain't talking about slavery or nothing else. Right now we're talking about just if you want to make money. You make more money with a smile than a frown if you want to make money. You know, that's for that. So that's on there. And just, you know, I express myself. I'm on YouTube doing some things too. And I'll tell you something. What it does for me is great. Like I said, it's good to know where you're at. It's great for the therapeutic value. I mean, nobody's bombarding me for autographs. I don't make no money. You know, like that. The thing is this. It's good for me because it's 64 and that's how old I am. You see. Everything I do, I shouldn't be doing. Come on, man. You can't make no music at 64, man. Do you know how many youngsters asking me to come in the studio with them? JLG, you good, man. That's just a good feeling for me because I'm going to do it anyway. Even if I'm not good, I'm going to do it. It just, thank God I'm told I'm good at it. So, no, at 64, you shouldn't be writing. You shouldn't be rapping, listening. What are you doing listening to that? Man, what you doing listening to that stuff? In a radio, internet show, at 64, you crazy. You better drive and shut up. See? But what it does, so I'll let you in on the secret. The reason why I do it, because I just told you earlier, I don't want to do it. And I didn't even pick the day or the time. Okay. The thing is, I've overcome all of my fears through this. See? That's why I don't make any money. I've overcome my fears with this, and guess what? It works. I overcome my fears with the music. I overcome my fears with that, man. I step to it. Because I'm afraid doing it. Or some, you know, like that type of fear I'm afraid with is like, oh, man, what's he going to do? They going to think. That type. And that's really, that's the first thing. You don't give a damn what nobody's thinking. That's the first thing I tell you, man. I don't care what nobody's thinking. Shit. But when I get to myself, you're not around. And I tell myself some stuff, too, to make it believe, hey, man, you know you can do that, boy. So, but when I get to my innermost self, you dig. Man, I'm a little shook. So, okay, what you need to do? Do it. Just do it the best you can, man. Come on, do that over again. I know you're tighter than that. Just do it. Spit it out there. You know you don't supposed to sound like a youngster because you're not a youngster. You sound like you're supposed to sound. And there you have it. So it works for me in that regard. You know, it strengthens me, and pushes me to the next day. Like, this is our fifth week we're doing. And I feel different on this fifth week than I did on the first week. And then you can see for yourself. All you got to do is go on demand tomorrow. We should have five shows up at least by Tuesday, hopefully. We have five shows up by Monday or Tuesday. That's 5 weeks. And so now I'm not saying like I'm a proficient talk show. Oh, hey, I'm great. No. But I feel better. See? And I overcame those fears. I'm like, well, I'm overcoming those fears every day. No. I'm not getting ready to do that. I overcame those fears. I bring on some more and let's deal with them. If we can get over that. I've overcome those fears. See? So you've been with me to witness me overcome the fear. You heard me. Go to the first show. You can hear it. I can hear it. Not ashamed, grateful. So that's why. To overcome the fears a big old man like me, 64, would have at doing a little old show, just talking or just exposing or talking, saying something. Or telling you this is not my idea. You know, that's big for me. I can't tell you. I don't talk like that. To tell you, hey, it's mine, but it's not mine. When I told you that, that's not how G get down or talk at all, period. But it's part of the deal. That ain't for you to believe. It's just for you to know. You do what you want to do with it. The thing is, it's not about that. It's what I do. It's what I got to do with it because it's mine. That's my walk, part of my journey. Discover where yours is because, I mean, we all have one. And we all have one. And like I say, it doesn't take a long, for some, but for all, it doesn't take a long journey to discover it. Or at least get on the journey seeking it. Because, you know, what it says in the word about seeking, right? It says you'll find it. And I mean, even if you're not a Christian or a Bible thumper or whatever, it doesn't even matter. The story's good, and it's a lot of stuff that you can glean from the stories. If you're even not a committed Christian or a committed religious person, just the stories. Oh, I love a good story. You learn from good stories. I haven't read a better story yet. All the killing and all the prostitution and all the conniving and all the money and all decision-making and that you want is in there. Everything else, from the front to the back. Best book I've ever read. So it's a lot of stuff you can just take and apply, you know, if it fit. Like, they're not just spook yourself up with, but just apply it. Because, you know, I don't do the spooked up thing real good. Because I've tried, and it just don't work for me. That's not my route. So for me, I just want to say that to any and all listeners that, you know, joined me this week, I want to thank you. And thank you again. Thank you for filling my glee with me about my man going up there in the hills and showing his paintings and, you know, getting in line with those people. That's just a big deal. So thank you for being supporting the show from the first show to this show. And I ask you to go on demand, listen to the podcast and tell a friend. Share us, let others know. Peace and love. Be good to yourself. Talk with you next week.
Tune in live every week to Jail, Parole, Probation, Survival with Greg Harris on BBS Radio Station 1 on Sundays at 2 p.m. Pacific Time. And don't forget to connect with Greg on your favorite social media platform. He's there. To find out more, go to bbsradio.com/JPPS. We're glad you did.